Hey guys, this is Ed. Just letting you guys know that we lost the first half of this interview, but we're going to play the second half, and then everything will be fine. Catch you later.
It's time for Blake and Ed now. One's big and nasty, the other's a robot. And Reese from the future. It's live after the cover save.
Whoa. Whoa, and welcome.
That went weird.
That was really weird. Well, I hit record and then it shot over to the stuff we just finished recording.
Yeah, that was a little funny.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it happens.
Oh, hell.
That computer.
I wish I could do a Nick Nolte.
That's your Nick Nolte.
Oh, hell.
No, that's,
hell.
That's your Jesse Ventura doing Nick Nolte.
All right, in case you guys don't listen, there's a show. Okay, we'll give credit where credit's due, Monsoon.
Well, I'll give credit where credit's due.
There's another podcast called the 10 Minute Podcast with
Will Sasso.
Will Sasso,
Tommy No Joke Blancha.
Tommy No Joke Blancha.
And something no
Chad No God Culture.
Culture?
Culture?
Yeah. They're Either all way. Famous for many other things other than that podcast.
Yes.
They're not like us trying to be famous for the podcast.
So either way, they do a 10 minute podcast and every show is 10 minutes and they just riff and gimmick and do funny things.
Bits.
And me and Ed, a lot of the things we do, like when we go, when we mispronounce a word,
yeah.
It's just something that me and Ed do to make each other giggle.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the wrestling voices is something that Will Sasso does a real good job on.
He does a lot of voices for anything.
Anything.
Al Pacino.
Yeah. He was on Mad TV, you might recognize him.
And Quatch.
Oh, hell. Yeah. That's my nickname. So a lot of times we do things
because it's silly. Because
it's silly, and then sometimes we're doing them because it was something that happened on a 10-minute podcast, and it makes us laugh so much.
Yeah.
So you can get on this joke and head over to TMP.com.
TMP.com. And tell them live as a conversation.
Holy shit!
A light just fell from the sky. I thought we were about to die, dude. I thought that was like lightning coming to strike us down for stealing okay. a gimmick or something.
So Ed has these what are those?
Fluorescent lights?
Fluorescent light rigs set up in his garage. And
this one just broke. It's plastic, but it broke. See?
Interesting. So basically, it just
swung
fell.
Down towards me. It was like, I looked over and I see this bright light coming out. Blake reacted first.
Because I was seeing it.
Yeah. The moments we capture here in the studio. You know, I don't understand what happened.
I don't know.
There was not an earthquake to cause it to move.
I guess Will Sasso was like, yo,
hey, yo,
we don't care. If it was like all of a sudden, it was like for you out of nowhere, you saw the headlights of a truck coming at you.
Yeah, I was like, where is this car coming from? In my garage, silently.
How scared are you? Did it shock you?
Like, my heart's not beating much faster, but you know what? I am fat, so it's hard to tell.
Anyways, yeah, head over to TMP.com. It's fun, enjoyable stuff, little shows.
Not for everybody. You know what? I really like their earlier stuff, but I still do like their new stuff, too.
Yeah, well, over the years, it originally... So this is Live Here at the Cover Save, talking about 10-minute podcasts.
Yeah.
So in the beginning...
This is a new format, guys. Hope you like it.
It was...
Next week, we're going to talk about the independent characters.
Yeah. And then, you know, Savage Love Podcast.
Yeah, and then the Joe Rogan Experience. And Hollywood Babylon.
Oh, Hollywood Babylon.
Yep.
What else? I mean, Your Mom's House.
Yep.
That's actually we ought to watch some of the Your Mom's House stuff.
Okay.
It's pretty fun. But to start out, Will Sasso and his two friends, Brian Callen, yep. who's a stand-up comic yep. and an actor, and Chris D'Elia,
yeah.
who's a stand-up comic and a much more successful actor.
Yes.
And then they did it for years together.
2 or 3 years, yeah.
Yeah. It was very fun, different characters, but same gimmicks.
But then Brian Callen got money doing Fighter and the Kid.
Yeah.
He's raking in the money, dude.
Serious money.
Yeah.
And he,
you can't pass that up.
No.
And
Ed, if Carl from the Independent Characters contacts me and says, we're going to give you a bunch of money to be on the show.
Yeah.
I'll try to do both for a while.
Yeah.
I know. And then I'll never talk about Life of the Cover Save
on the new show.
On the new show.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It'll just be me. Maybe I'll have to get in the second string.
So eventually, the two other co-hosts kind of got very successful in other ventures, and Chris D'Elia is on a lot of TV shows.
Yeah, Undateable.
Yeah,
some other stuff. I don't know.
New
he
Girl?
Was on Whitney.
Whitney.
Whitney. But so, that's canceled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But his stand-up comedy is pretty good.
Yeah,
they're both funny guys.
So eventually, he had two other friends that he brought on board over time, and Tommy Blancha is the creator of Metalpocalypse.
Yep.
He worked for the WWF.
And the Tonight Show or something like that?
Yeah, he did.
Or Conan.
Conan.
Maybe it was Conan.
Either way, he's a writer. He's a pretty funny guy. He is the least funny out of the three of them.
I don't know.
Sometimes he's really funny.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I think Chad Colchin's the least funny.
Oh, but he's not like a funny guy.
No, he's not. He doesn't even know what wrestling is. And then all of a sudden, he just laughs.
Yeah, because it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
And then the Colchin guy, he's a writer, and so basically he was able to replace his two.
Yeah,
and he's still going. It's a lot of fun. Check it out, guys. 10 minutes.
Yeah,
not a big priority.
Yeah, you'd be halfway done listening to it
by now.
Yeah, by now. Yeah.
Yeah, the piano would start playing.
And it would be
playing.
Better. And it'd be better than what has
different,
happened.
Different format.
It's crazy.
That light was something.
Yeah.
I was so glad I didn't hit you.
Yeah, so am I, because you didn't say, Ed, look out. You just had a wide look on your face. I wish we were recording video right now.
Anyways.
Yeah, so, we got LVO coming up real soon, like in the next couple days, dude.
Yeah, so when you're listening to this.
You should be on your way over there.
Hopefully you're popping this on and heading out to the LVO.
Yeah.
So this episode, we got Julio. He was one of the NWO Black Shirts guy. He's a Bakersfield guy. We've gotten to know him for several years now.
Mexican Morpheus.
Mexican Morpheus, as he is known.
Yeah.
And I love how basically it was me talking over him most of the time.
He was really quiet.
Yeah.
I think we got to get him in studio next time.
I think it's going to be easier live in studio.
Yeah.
Because we could look at his responses and we could watch him.
Yeah, because sometimes I think he was formulating the question in his mind, and it just took a little longer than we thought it would be.
Yeah, and you know me, when I ask questions, sometimes I go on. I could just ask a question.
Yeah,
but
like,
instead,
what color shirt are you wearing?
But instead, I'll be like, hey, now, purple has traditionally been the color of royalty and of Caesars. And, you know, cotton has always been a very important feature of the Southern economy with its emphasis in the slave culture and export in the South.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite color cotton T-shirt?
Yeah.
So that's what I do, and I think that fucks with people.
Yeah. But you know what? It's a good question.
Yeah.
He'd
be like,
a black and white shirt. It's just NWO on it, dude.
Julio's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, we talked briefly about, like, when we first met him, where he was at in 40K and where he's at now. And I think that's kind of a nice little thing there for you 40K guys.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We also have another thing. We redid a commercial for Table War.
Oh, my God. You know what? We had a lot of information to go through. We had pages.
Yeah.
I think if I printed it out, it was like a five-page essay.
Five-page email, yeah.
Yeah.
You get to see Todd.
Yeah,
he's sitting there. It's a beautiful day in Maui. Yeah.
He's got his windows open. The sun's just peaked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's got a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, there's people. You can look out his window and see the surfers and the Wave Riders.
You know, his wife kisses him goodbye.
Yeah.
She goes off shopping, taking the kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm in paradise. It's time for me to check my email.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to write us bullet points.
A dissertation.
Yeah.
You know, I've read actual senior history theses that were longer.
Mm-hmm. But some that were shorter, too.
Yeah.
Than what Todd gave us.
Yeah.
And then he's like, if you need me to trim it down a little, let me know. But I was afraid we, instead of five, it would have been 4 pages. So we just took it upon ourselves.
To craft and construct this. And also, because we would do it, and it's like, man, you'll hear the commercial. It is enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think Ed showed up pretty good on the editing on this one.
I think Ed showed up big on the editing. I think Ed showed up big on the idea.
Yes.
It wasn't perfectly crafted. It came, you know, we had to brainstorm as we went along.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Every idea starts with a seed. Mm-hmm. And the more you water it and grow it by talking with other creative people, you know, people you bounce ideas off, eventually you're going to get something better.
Yeah.
And
this is the best that could be done with what was given.
In 1 minute and 28 seconds. Yeah. No, the commercial.
Yeah.
It's longer than we want.
Yeah, but we're covering so much.
It was really
hard.
And
it's way better than Britney's commercial. I'm sorry, Britney. Yeah. I'm sure you look better in a three-piece bikini as opposed to a two-piece.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that third piece is. Maybe it's glasses, sunglasses. Yeah. Maybe the third piece.
Or like a headscarf.
Oh, yeah, or like a bandana on her knee.
Yeah. So, yeah, we said Bon Voyage to Britney and the Table War commercial, because we have so much more to say, so much more to talk about Table War.
Yeah, it's not. We're just not talking about cases anymore.
Yeah, now there's so much more.
Yeah.
So we're going to play that for you before we get into our interview.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want to talk about here, and this is a good opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm paying attention to the counter there. We got about an inch or two from my point of view. So one of the things it's not really a game, but it's something that I was into recently. I listened, thanks to RoboEd, to the audiobooks of Ready Player One and Armada.
Both by Klein? Is it Klein?
Yeah, Klein. I think his last name's Klein. Funny enough, both of his got sold to make movies.
Different
production house companies.
Yeah, different houses picked them up.
Yeah.
Production houses. And Josh was saying, interestingly enough, the one that should have went to Universal went to the other one. Like, Universal's doing Armada.
Yeah.
And he was saying Universal probably should have done Ready Player One because of the references. Like, he's flying around with a DeLorean with the Ghostbusters logo on it, which are both Universal, whatever.
Well, they'll make the deals and make sure they can get all that stuff.
It's important.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that important. You could probably throw in another pop culture reference instead.
Yeah.
And it'll still be just as entertaining.
So the books were good.
Yeah.
I listened to them rather than read them. I'm glad I finally got to them. I've been floating around them for a while.
Yeah.
And
he's been ducking and diving those books for about a year now.
But it's like, if I'm going to read, there's so much other stuff that I would rather read.
Yeah.
But
that being said, were you happy that you listened to them?
Oh, yeah.
They're enjoyable.
Yeah. Two very different books. I think as a whole, Armada, his second, was a much more crafted,
detailed. Like,
this is, it's more, it's a better written book for the sake of a book.
Yeah.
In terms of structure, you know, character cycle, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
In terms of the writing craft, it's better. Especially in terms of selling it.
Okay.
And making it for a wide audience.
Right.
Okay. Ready Player One, I liked more.
Yeah.
But not by too much. But I believed it was a little bit more psychedelic.
Yeah.
A little bit more trippy.
Yeah.
And it had a very different feel than Armada.
Yeah.
It's definitely Armada is going to make a blockbuster action movie.
Yeah.
And Ready Player One could do more of like what Spielberg's doing. Like, it's a Spielberg movie now.
Yeah.
And like AI, Spielberg did AI. That was a trippy fucking weird movie.
Never watched it, actually.
Spielberg does some interesting movies that aren't necessarily... All right. Ready?
E.T.
Yeah. Armada could be like a Bruckheimer or a...
Yeah. I don't like Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
Is Bruckheimer does the Transformers, right?
No, that was Bay.
Oh, Michael Bay. It could be a Michael Bay, though. Armada.
Could definitely be a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah. Which would be terrible.
Yeah. Ready Player One is a little bit more abstract.
Yeah.
You know.
I'd do Bruckheimer before Bay. Forget Bay.
Give me a Scott.
Ridley?
Give me a Scott. or a Cameron.
Give me a Milius.
Yeah. Give me a John Milius.
Actually, he's dead, right?
No.
No, he's still alive.
He's got a horrible... He had a stroke.
Oh.
Did you watch that show, that the documentary?
Yeah. I started watching it. I don't think I finished it.
That's interesting. I like Milius.
Yeah.
Actually, you know who would be a really good... I think...
Inception guy?
That could be pretty good. A Nolan.
Yeah.
A Nolan doing Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
But no, good books, I recommend them. If you're into some sci-fi. Now, like I said, there's a lot of 80s, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of winks and nods.
Yeah, if you're
to a time
frame. If you're around our age, you'll love it.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit older.
Yeah.
But I felt it was super indulgent.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing to say. But it, like the Ready Player One is like on the surface, it was like, okay, this is enjoyable, this is light. But then towards the in the third act, when he has to do something in order to, you know, fend off the final plan or to get it together,
yeah,
it got really, really, really dark.
I think overall the story is pretty dark. Like just the setting, like the from the very beginning of the book, you realize that like. The world is not fun to live in because everybody just wants to go in the virtual reality.
Yeah.
World, which could be our future.
Well, and that's why I, you know, we don't see a lot of the outside world.
Yeah.
In the book, except for in the beginning and little bits and pieces there.
I feel like kids today see less of the outside world than we did.
Probably.
And we saw less of the outside world than our parents did.
Yeah.
So I think eventually we will get to that point.
Yeah. I think we're all there in some extent.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, once he has the, I don't know, a pivotal moment with a relationship.
Yeah.
And that is him no longer being a kid anymore.
That's true.
And he has to deal with the world.
Yeah.
And then when he does the thing, he has to go to the place.
Yep.
That was super dark. And that's when I was like, all right, this is what I want to see.
Yeah.
The other stuff is cool. And it's enjoyable, and there's some good novel ideas in there, but it wasn't like necessarily challenging or.
It was kind of fun.
Fun. It was super fun because they're in the Oasis all the time.
It's like the Goonies, you know, they're exploring, and then when they meet the Fratellis, and you realize that they're actually murderers,
it gets dark.
It gets a little dark.
That's actually a really good point.
And then you're like, okay, things just got real.
Yeah.
Or another example would be Harry Potter. We're like, oh, yeah, there's giants. It's all fun. We're going to school. And then Voldemort kills somebody right in front of Harry.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're like, oh, Jesus, this thing just got real.
Yeah.
And then it changes after the Goblet of Fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are all excellent points.
Yeah.
Armada is essentially the last Starfighter.
Yes.
Let's just be straight here.
Last Starfighter, exactly.
Reboot.
Reboot.
It was
retelling of it.
It was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
I did feel more attached to the characters in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing the Armada characters and the Armada line in a movie much clearer.
Yeah.
You know?
Toys, all that stuff.
Yeah. Iron Eagles.
Iron Eagle.
Did you ever see Iron Eagle?
Iron Beagle.
It was Iron Beagle, but did you see Iron Eagle?
No.
I didn't know. I've seen it, but the picture. But the book explained it to me. It was about a kid who ditches school.
I remember there's one of the guys, the actor who's in it. I forget his name already.
Basically, he's learns how to fly an F-16 in like these simulator video game things.
Yeah, he's a prodigy.
Yeah, and his dad gets captured.
Yep.
is in the military.
And he steals a jet to go save his dad.
And he has...
I think Louis Gossett Jr.'s in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
And he plays his music. Yeah. Highway to the
It's technically Top Gun,
zone.
But I...
Yeah, I know. Well, I know that. I told you I haven't seen Iron Eagle, Blake. So I was calling in a movie that I've actually seen.
Yeah, so I am interested in seeing what they do with Ready Player One, the movie.
I thought they were redoing or making a sequel to The Last Starfighter.
Oh, they might be. Interesting. Did you see that thing? It was talking about a Blade Runner sequel.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's in it.
Yeah.
And somebody else.
Yeah.
I was thinking that might not be a sequel. That could be filming for Ready Player One.
No. You think so?
Because in Ready Player One, he goes to a Blade Runner world.
That's right.
You know?
That's true.
And they could just have Deckard in there and just do little stuff with his face just to make him look younger.
Oh, my God.
And that could be like, you know.
So it's a lie.
It could be a very clever,
elaborate
setup.
Wow, Blake.
I didn't read that article, so I don't know. But I was
thinking, I saw the actual preview for it.
And there was a young guy with. Oh, you saw a preview for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's legit.
Oh, I don't care either way. It sounds exciting either way.
I forgot about Ready Player One. Like all the worlds that he goes to, the virtual worlds are themed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. All right.
Well, you know what? We got Julio.
Yeah.
Talking all kinds of stuff. We got this Table War commercial that you got to hear.
It's going to be great, guys.
And hopefully we'll be seeing a lot of you at Las Vegas Open.
Yeah, dude, get out there.
Come and say hi to us.
I'm only there till Friday.
I mean, we'll definitely give you a minute or two.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of things we got to do.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff we got to do. But it'd be cool to say hi to everybody.
Yeah. We'll be seeing some old regulars, meeting some new regulars.
Yep.
You know, hopefully, one of you has a wife or girlfriend that you would like to watch me pleasure in front of you. I can do that too.
You know what though? He's also open to just watch you pleasure her too.
Not as much. There's a lot of things to do in Vegas.
I know it's not as much, but it still will be pleasurable for Blake to watch.
Yeah.
And then he could, I mean, he'll coach you through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'd be like, no, touch her there.
Yeah.
All right, now slap her softly.
Yeah. Now just pet,
you know what?
Pet her
you
hair. Move over. I'll show you how to do it.
I'll show you how to do it. let me just show you where to touch her.
Yeah. Let me show you some technique here, son.
Now, pay attention. Now, ma'am, this isn't going to feel the same, but it's going to feel good.
Hey, this is Big Nasty B from Life Out of the Cover Safe, and I'm at a mall talking to strangers about Table War. Table War develops some of the most innovative products for the miniature wargaming and hobby industry.
And I develop pictures.
That's great. They develop things like the Fat Matt.
Who's Matt, and why is he so fat?
Well, first off, Matt is not a person. The Fat Matt is a tabletop gaming surface, and with over 40 different designs, Table War's Fat Matt has become a community standard.
I got a Surface Pro, it's like 10 inches. By the way, I mean my friend Simbon, do you know what that is?
No, but I do want to tell you about the Table War Tower case line.
Oh man, towers are so huge.
Well, it's not that kind of tower. It's the original modular, all-in-one display storage and transport system for all your tabletop miniatures.
Wow, you're really smart. What's your relationship status?
Well, it's complicated. But you know what isn't complicated?
Chili dogs.
This is true. But also, the Macromat.
Oh, geez, not that guy again.
The Macromat is a one-of-a-kind, innovative photography backdrop, perfect for collectibles, hobby miniatures, and small works of art. Its durability, portability, and functionality in one inexpensive product.
I wasn't paying attention to what you just said, but do you validate parking?
No, I do not. But if you want more information, head over to TableWar.com and check them out.
Table War!
Hey guys, Big Nasty B here. I want to talk to you about all the great stuff that you can buy at WarGamer.com.
Whoa, that's WarGamma.com.
or gamma.com.
Yeah. Mr. Danny does alternative and original resin sculpts for tabletop war games. Models, terrain, markers, and objectives. Even bases.
Wait. I understand what war is. It's a battle. I understand what gamma is. It's like gamma rays that made the Hulk the Incredible Hulk. But if you put them together, I don't get what they're talking about.
Well, I'm not sure either. But if you go to wargamma.com, you can see just what I'm talking about.
Hey, Robo Ed. You think Mr. Danny likes chimichangas as much as we do? Wargamma.com.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence, let's get nuts!
Okay, listen up! This is serious business!
Well, I've wrestled with reality for 35 years, Doctor, and I'm happy to state I finally won out over it.
Hey, don't worry, I can handle it. I took something. I can see things no one else can see. Why are you dressed like that?
So anyways, let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Hello, Frontline Gaming, this is Reese. How can I help you?
Hi, Reese. This is Reese from the past. I was calling to order some GW models for a tournament.
Well, Reese from the past, you're in luck. Because all GW products are 20% off. And let me tell you, we won the tournament.
That's awesome, dude.
Reese from the past, hold on a second. Someone's coming in the store.
Hey, Reese, put down that phone. This is Reese from the future. I need to talk to you about something important.
Reese from the future, what's going on? What's wrong? Did the models not get delivered?
Of course they got delivered. You ordered from Frontline Gaming. Everything will be fine. I just need to tell you something.
What? What's wrong?
It's your kids, Reese. You've got to do something about your kids.
Make sure you head to frontlinegaming.org for all your miniature needs, tabletop news, tactics, custom terrain, custom paint jobs. Once again, frontlinegaming.org.
Mechanical Warhorse.
Mechanical Warhorse specializes in affordable, quality gaming aids, like markers, tokens, templates, and game effects. It doesn't matter what game system or skill you're playing, their products will take your game experience to the next level. Let's face it, makeshift gaming aids just don't cut it anymore.
Mechanical Warhorse.
Check out mechanicalwarhorse.com. Not only is the owner Carlos a great man, but he's a great lover. Once again, mechanicalwarhorse.com.
Mechanical Warhorse.
Throughout human history, our species has faced the frightening, terrorizing fact that we do not know who we are or where we're going in this ocean of chaos.
The world is made of language. The mind is somehow a co-creator in the process of reality through acts of language.
Now listen, Julio. You can't start saying that kind of stuff on the podcast, okay? This is an adult podcast for sure. But the things that you said crossed the line.
Yeah. Okay. Blake was almost covering his ears, dude.
Yeah.
He has a tear in his eye.
A little bit.
But you know what? I'm going to erase everything. And it's going to sound like he just said nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how good I am.
Well, Ed's the master. But listen, Julio, if you start talking like that and saying those particular combination of words, this interview is over.
It's over.
Okay, bud?
And you will not come back. Yeah. We'll suspend you for 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
for words like that.
We're serious.
And slap a fine on you, probably.
Yeah.
If we seek legal action.
All right, so what I was getting at before you started saying those horrible things.
Yeah, we had to go to commercials because of that.
Is the Blood Angels book they have right now is a little better than the first one in 7th edition. You'd agree, right?
Yeah.
But it's still not...
There's more options out there right now, which is, I think, is fun. You get more choices of what you want to do with it. But it's still not as good as everything else out there.
Yeah, like a Tau or Eldar. It's just not quite there. What is the... But you can do an ally in order to strengthen up your Blood Angels. So what are the rules in ITC for picking your primary force and how it relates to allies?
You have to spend more points in that faction than all the other ones.
Well, okay. Well, what would you get? You get Skyhammer from the Space Marines and then just everything else from the Blood Angels book. Is that where we're at, you think?
Yeah, that's a good combination. I've seen that before.
I ran it a couple times.
Yeah, Blake was like, this is the way you got to win games. I'm not going to do it,
no.
But that's how you do it.
So here's the question then, Julio. So 2000, ITC year one, season one, you missed by a butthole hair.
Yeah.
For your top ranking in Space Marines. Season two, you decided to play both sides of the ball. Go Iron Man, so to speak, with your Blood Angels and your Eldar. And that left you in a bind because basically neither of those panned out. So with 2017, let's assume everything goes as planned at LVO and you win it. And you're like top 10 or top something. Actually, if you win LVO, where do you go on the top overall, by the way?
Let's say he's at 528 points. The top person is 748 points. Can you get 200 points in the tournament?
Fuck, I don't know.
LVO, I think it's going to be possible.
Hmm.
There's so many people going. I think it's going to be like a 500-player tournament.
So, okay. So if you do very well, I said do. If you do very well for Eldar, you could see some rising up from that 38 spot. No question, right?
Yeah, correct. That can happen. The possibility is there.
Okay.
Matt Root, by the way, number one, okay? He's done 16 events, and he's at 748 points.
Okay.
So if he... I'm going to assume that he's going to go, you know?
Who? So if he Matt
does
Root?
Well, yeah.
If he does, yeah. Matt Root's going to LVO.
Yeah.
Right, Julio?
That he's going to win it?
That he's going. He's going to LVO.
Oh, he's going to?
Yeah, he's going to be there.
He should be there. I mean, if I was him, I'd go collect my money.
Fuck yeah! How much is the prize this year?
It was $3,000 last year, so I'm guessing it's going to be around there somewhere.
Some fucking, you could. Whoa, shit. Okay, let's play it. Let's have a fun little game.
Yeah,
here.
Let's play.
Ed, if you got $3,000 at LVO for being the best of, what are you going to do with that money?
I'd probably give $1,500 to Julio, and you know. Bet it all on black.
Okay.
What would you do?
I think I would probably invest. I'd probably give half of it to Julio.
Okay. And then.
And then I would probably invest into some better podcast equipment.
Oh, you know what? That's what I
would
do.
And then pay off my credit card.
There you go. What would you do, Julio?
If you won your
$3,000.
What would you win? What would you do with that money?
I think we already talked about this with my team. If any of us make it and we win the whole thing, we're just gonna get Hercules and Blow at LVO.
Well, are you gonna give half of it to fucking Life After Cover Save, or what are you thinking?
I mean, we could score you some Blow, and we'll hook. I'm sure.
I think with 1,500, we have enough for Hercules and Blow. And then I think you guys would need some new equipment also. And that way you can have me on the podcast more often because, you know, it's been fucking forever.
Yeah, I told him years ago.
Yeah.
But it was just like, he's so close. He's in Bakersfield. It's so much easier when you have someone live.
Sound quality is better.
It's just not. It didn't pan out, so I decided, let's fucking get Julio in here before Las Vegas Open. Yeah. And I fucking did it.
Yep. Now we got your $1,500.
Now we're getting $1,500. So, okay, one thing you did mention, your team here. And I would say that 2016 for you as a competitive 40K player was much less about your own personal quest inside the ITC, but really, from the outside looking in, it seems like it's the building of your team that has really been taking up a lot of your time.
Yeah, I think it was one of the really good things that we've been able to do, because within us, we're so close with each other, and that just going, you know, together somewhere and hanging out, the hanging out process is, it's a lot more fun than actually, you know, sometimes playing your games. So I do recommend anybody that starts playing 40K, you know, find a nice close group and just get to be able to hang out with each other and, you know, and go together. It's a lot more fun doing it that way than trying to go to GTs all over the place by yourself.
Saves on gas, too.
Yeah.
Saves the environment.
Yeah.
Now, since we're talking about the group.
They're called the NWO Black Shirts.
Yeah. This guy, Aaron Aleong.
Aaron Aleong.
Aleong. We have?
I think we have.
Is he really good?
Yeah, he is really good.
He's number 5 with only 6 events. And the guy above him, Joshua Death, went to 21 events, and he's only 6 points ahead of him.
Well, you can only take so many scores.
Oh, okay.
So for the overall, what they do is they get your top 5 scores.
Uh-huh.
But only 3 can come from an RTT.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which is that, man. You could have had something with those Blood Angels, Julio. You could have had something.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. All my Blood Angel scores are only RTTs.
So you need to do 1 GT with
them. I need to do 1 GT. So I could have maybe say, I'm not going to take LR this time to this GT and take Blood Angels. And it could have changed things for me. But I didn't do that.
You fucked up, Julio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed in you right now.
I mean, because here's the deal. I'm thinking that maybe a Blood Angels is something I should try for in 2017.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's some... I mean, here's one thing, though. Go ahead. Go ahead, Julio.
I would 100% support that right there.
Yeah, but I won't. Let's just be honest here. So, the team... NWO Black Shirts. Now, it's mostly people from Bakersfield around the area, right?
Yeah. Some of us have moved, and we kind of expanded it a little bit, but most of us are here in Bakersfield.
Now, who are some of the better players you have? Not by your opinion, but as the rankings says.
So, for one, to be in the team, most of us have to be in the same level, and I agree on that. But in the rankings, you know, it all depends on what armies you take and all that stuff, plus your skill level. The ones that we have for the team, because I know that you can only have 3 scores per player on the team score,
mm-hmm.
and it's only the top 10 scores from the team.
Okay.
We have Michael Kriegler, which lives in Oregon now.
Yep. He's the number 1 Space Wolves, by the way.
Yeah, he's number 1 Space Wolves. He's been kicking ass. I think he only has 2 losses out of all his tournament games that he's done.
Wow.
He's doing really, really good with the army that he's playing, which is a Wolf Star. We have Aaron Aleong, which is also kicking ass where he lives. We have myself. I don't know if you guys have met Vince. He lives in Fresno.
I don't know.
He used to be known for being a really good Tyranids player, and he was always doing articles for Frontline for Tyranids.
What's his last name?
Vince Weibert.
Okay, I don't know. Sorry, Vince.
Sorry, Vince.
And then we have Lukash. I call him Luke because it's easier to say. But Lukash lives in Canada. And he became... He became Michael's friend online, and then he was able to join the team. with us.
Okay. So it started out as something. I mean, there's still probably a lot of members of the NWO Black Shirts, but those are just your upper crust, your top shelf guys, right?
Yeah, according to the rankings at the moment.
Okay. So who is the best player in your opinion, NWO Black Shirts? Who's the top dog in this? Who's the top wrestler in the NWO?
There's Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and then Hulk Hogan.
But like really everybody looks to who?
Well, I mean, Hulk Hogan was a leader.
Yeah.
So. All
right. So who's the Hulk Hogan of the NWO Black Shirts 40K team?
I think at this moment right now, Michael has taken that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd agree.
And you're obviously the Razor. Go ahead.
Jesse just doesn't play often, but to me, he's still one of the better players out there.
So he's probably Razor.
No, I would say Julio's Razor Ramon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you know what? They would call me Six Pack. I was Six Pack on the team.
X-Pack?
No, you're Razor Ramon.
No, dude, he's a little X-Pac, dude.
No.
Yeah, dude, he banged China put out the video, then she died mysteriously.
Yeah.
That's something I would...
Hey, yo.
Remember when you said all that stuff about banging China? Well, Big Kevin and I here...
We don't care. Hey, yo. You got your elbow pads.
Yeah.
You got your... What other shit did he say in that one?
You got your knee pads.
Your knee pads. Your elbow... You know, he has an alcohol problem. You know that, right? You know that, right, Julio? Razor Ramon?
Yeah. I've seen the documentary. It's kind of sad.
But he's back, dude.
He back?
Hey, Dolly. I got a problem.
Is he?
Remember DDP?
Oh, DDP had him on the pod. Called him on the phone.
And Jake the Snake. And they're like, dude, you got to come down here. We'll get you better.
And did Jake the Snake and fucking DDP help him?
I believe so. Did you see the commercial with DDP Yoga's like having their sale? And like... Jake the Snake is dressed up like an angel. It was like for Christmas.
No.
And Jake the Snake is floating in the air just like an angel.
Is this on like network television?
Probably not. I don't know.
Okay.
Lisa, you is probably like a commercial on YouTube, probably.
Okay. Well, that's just fucking sad. So when it comes to the NWO Black Shirts, which is kind of how I see the focus of your ITC season in 2016, where do you guys stand in the team rankings? Because the ITC does have team rankings.
We're right behind number one.
Who's number one?
The Beast Coast.
The Best Coast?
No, I think Beast Coast is different.
The BC? BC Coast?
The Beast Coast is a bunch of East Coast players.
Beast Coast. Okay, they got Nick Nanavati, Brad Chester, Andrew Gagno, Eric Heyorger, Andrew Gagner, Matt Schumann. Dang.
Well, who's the top guy there you mentioned? Nick Nanavati?
Yeah.
He won...
He got third in Adepticon.
No, Nick Nanavati, he won LVO last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is that pajama pants?
No.
No.
No, that was...
Two years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 years ago was Nick Nanavati, huh?
Maybe. Sean
Naden. Who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
Why are we even doing this?
Why are we saying their names?
It doesn't matter.
They don't listen.
You know what? I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about out of all the people that play 40K, there are named characters or named NPCs. Most of the people are just fucking NPCs that don't do anything. But a name like Aaron A. Long... Nick Nanavati, Jeff in Control Robinson,
Frankie Giampapa.
Those are named NPC characters. Now, I like to believe that Julio Rodriguez is a named character.
Yeah.
Is Julio, are you a named NPC in the ITC? Or are you just some schmuck? Honest now.
I believe so.
You know what? Here's what I want you to do next year.
You're talking over him, Ed.
I know. He didn't tell me to shut up, though. So, next year, when you sign up for the ITC, can you... name yourself Mexican Morpheus?
I should do that.
First name Mexican, last name Morpheus,
and just and people will be like, who's this Mexican Morpheus guy? You Ooh. Can you sign up, like, do some tournaments as Mexican Morpheus with a different army,
with your Blood Angels maybe.
Yeah. And be like, dude, I gotta crush this Mexican Morpheus, like an alias.
Yeah, can you do an alias, a special name in the ITC ranking system, Julio?
Yeah, I seen it before.
Yeah.
Is this Josh Death? I don't know if that's his real last name.
Yeah, I don't think Death is his last name. Jerk.
You know what? According to him, it is.
No.
But he had a switcher.
Well, he's a lying sack of shit. Yeah. I don't know the guy, but I don't fucking trust him.
Yeah, dude, he's doing everything at his man beard game. Dude, he's this guy, Josh. I don't know him.
Yeah. What's Man Beard Games?
Yeah. What's Imperial Knights?
Yeah. But yeah. Now, here's the deal, Julio. Do you believe, with a good showing from the NWO Black Shirts at Las Vegas Open 2016, could we see the NWO Black Shirts
as win best team?
As best team?
You mean 2017, right?
Well, whatever fucking year we're in.
So wait a minute. So is 2016 over the ITC?
Well, Vegas.
LVO is pretty much the finals.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So can you win it? Can you become top team? Or are you too far behind?
No. We talked about this, and the reason that I want to take Eldar, because the ones that are playing in the tournament want to take over first place.
Okay. So and it's about getting points at this point.
To become team one, the first team.
Yeah.
Correct.
And you believe you can get you could possibly pull more points with your Eldar?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't want to say you're the leader of the NWO Black Shirts, but that's something a leader would do.
Yeah. Yeah, he would drop the belt to one of his comrades. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you go in and like you touch him on the chest, and then he'd fall down, and then you pin him. And then you become the championship, and then everyone stops watching WCW.
Yeah. Does that sound familiar, Julio?
Yeah.
Who was it, like, Kevin Nash versus Hogan?
I think it was.
Yeah, and you just, like, you're like, all right, here they go. And he, like, touched him, and he fell down, and then you pinned him, and he became champion. Everyone was all pissed and disgusted.
Well, of course, it's the NWO. You know, I mean, I wouldn't get mad. I'd be mostly mad at myself for watching wrestling. You know? Now, Julio, let's put all this fucking... Do we talk about what your goal is for after LVO? What your goal is for the next ITC season? What are you thinking?
I'm going to see if I can start a new army. I still haven't picked which one I really want to do. But, it's going to be the same, pretty much the same goal to pick a faction and then try to go for first.
I think you got to pick one where there's not a lot of people.
It's tough now. I mean, the ITC has grown so much that the people literally just started doing that. Like, you pick orcs, and then you're literally just going to be competing to all the orc players that are trying to do the same thing as you.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
I might want to do orcs. Oh, yeah.
You've got an orc in your pants.
No, we don't know that with orcs, you're not going to be the top players with it, but you can at least try to beat all the other orc players.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that is a way to go, because you do get recognition, celebrity, pussy. Mm-hmm. All those things come with being a top of an army, you know.
Narcotics.
Now, are you willing to accept that celebrity status and all that pussy just falling out of your pockets if you're the fucking top Imperial Agents player? Are you willing to accept that, Julio?
Yes.
Actually, look, the Beast Coast has 1,372.85 points.
Mm-hmm.
And NWO Black Shirts are at 1,306. But you got to watch out, because the Frozen North Gaming is right behind you, dude, and Team Zero Comp. But you know what? They're not going to be, not their whole team's not going to be playing, because Frankie and Reese aren't going to be playing. They're going to be running LVO, so you got a good chance of keeping Zero Comp down.
Well, you know what? You know who Team Zero Comp has? They have two key players. Do you know who those two key players are, Julio?
You mean besides you, right?
Well, all right. Take it back. There's three key players. You bring up a good point. But besides me, I'm retired.
They have, from what I know, they have In Control Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And they have James Carmona.
Yeah.
What about Frankie Giampapa?
Well, he's not playing.
That's true. Right.
I mean, the hopes of the fucking Team Zero comp comes down to James Meathands Carmona and Jeff In Control Robinson. Now, have you played those two before at any tournament?
I have played James once, and that was at the Pasadena team tournament and the final table.
And what happened?
He just slaughtered me with his Negrons.
As you should have. Good job, James.
Yeah, James Meathands Carmona. I was just in San Diego. I hung out with James Meathands Carmona. He's a good guy, but I think he might be a really horrible drunk.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it there.
You know what?
You'd be worse than me.
I don't know about that.
Worse than who?
Worse than Julio.
Are you a bad drunk, Julio? I remember you drinking, and I remember you getting bad.
There was one time I went to San Diego for the first time, and it was the Broad Sabash, my first year there. And Frankie and Reese were really nice enough to let me stay at their apartment. And all I remember is one day waking up in their tub with the water running and me really wasted.
Wait a minute. Were they trying to revive you? Like, were you, like, almost dead?
Kind of. James had to open the door because it was locked. I don't know how the fuck he opened it.
With his big old meat hands.
Yeah, he's got big old meat hands.
He is Mexican, so I'm pretty sure he knows how to open doors.
That's true.
That's coming from a Mexican. From Mexican to Mexican saying that, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Let's be clear on that.
And a Mexican okaying it here.
just to make sure that I was okay. I don't remember it much. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
So were you embarrassed?
Kind of, because it wasn't my place. Or my
exactly, dude. Were your clothes on? Were your clothes on?
No, he didn't go inside. He just opened the door and asked me if it was okay.
No, but I'm just asking, like, were you in the tub with your clothes on?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Then he could have came in.
Yeah, maybe he would have jumped in the bath with you.
Yeah, I mean, and the other question I have, did they ever invite you back? Because that's the real one that you...
Not yet.
Okay, yeah, that was probably really embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm ashamed of you, Max. Come
yeah, you should be, yeah.
Next time, take the red pill.
Yeah. Don't unplug. Don't fucking go. Go ahead, bud.
Reese was kind of upset because me and the guys from Rage Quit Table Flip, Adam and Ryan.
Those guys are animals.
Yeah, those guys can drink. We were taking shots of Reese's whiskey like it was tequila.
But it was it was probably like Red Label, huh?
Yeah, it was some expensive ass whiskey, and Reese was over there sipping it like, you know, like a little boy sipping soda, you know. And me and them were taking like just shots straight after shot, and that's probably what fucked me up that night.
Hey guys, slow down. Hey, this Johnny Walker Blue Label. You gotta sip that shit.
So are you expecting to get shitty, fucked up at Vegas?
Yeah, definitely. Have you guys seen the video of me and Kriegler chugging a bottle of liquor?
Yeah. Next scene, you're like, you see the video of you guys blindfolded with penises drawn on your forehead? You see that video?
Yeah. The one I saw was you and Kriegler.
Yeah.
You're on a stage in Tijuana.
Yeah.
And there's a donkey over you guys.
Yeah.
And then we quickly just get a shot of your eyeballs.
Yeah.
And they're black.
Yeah.
And they're all black, like a shark's eyes.
Yeah.
Or a doll's eye or something. And then for a moment there, the color came back for a brief second. And then I think you saw where you are and what was happening, and it went black again.
Yeah.
So do you remember that brief moment with a donkey above you, and you were doing something on a stage in Tijuana for a drink? Do you remember that?
Interesting.
I don't remember that part.
Okay, because I saw it. I saw the video.
Yeah, dude, there were so many videos with you and Kriegler, dude.
Yeah, you and Kriegler. Well, let's hope that doesn't
happen
again.
You have a YouTube
again.
Channel with all those.
Yeah, you know about the YouTube channel?
Oh, now I got to search it now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you better, dude.
Okay, isn't that a horrible... That would be a horrible fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Someone made a YouTube channel.
Chanio.
Chanio. Of just, like, you blackout drunk doing horrible things.
Yeah.
And you had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm getting older now, but I have been starting to black out. So you know what? You guys might be telling the truth.
Well, listen. My honest suggestion to you, buddy, is take it easy.
And stay away from YouTube.
Yeah. Take it easy. Fucking, you're older now. You have kids.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's time to be... You can still have fun and let loose now and then.
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
All right, Julio?
Yeah.
Keep it low on the drinking.
Yeah, you know, if I'm there and I see you walking around with a drink, I'm just going to walk over to you and be like, Julio, what's that over there? And then when you turn to look, I'm going to slap the drink out of your hand and run away.
Are you willing to take that, Julio, for your fucking better?
Just make sure that I'm drinking water, though.
Okay, yeah. Maybe
you know what? Maybe
water.
I'll just hand you water.
Yeah.
I'll be like, here, after you finish that drink, drink this.
Well, you know what? There will be water at Las Vegas Open this
Thank
year.
Thank God.
Hopefully.
No. Well, I hope so, too.
Well, last I heard, the water was a go.
Yeah.
Last year, water was almost the same price as beer.
Yeah, well, they do that for a reason.
Yeah.
And Bally's.
Yeah.
Instead of drinking the water or buying water, I was just drinking beer.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead of drinking water, I just filled it up in the bathroom sink. I just kept saying. But the thing is, it was that price, and it was a small bottle.
Oh, it was the worst.
Yeah.
Bally's fucked up.
Yeah, you're really jacked up, Bally's.
Yeah.
You know?
Good thing, I don't think we're going to be at Bally's again after this year.
Oh, really? Well, we'll see.
I think if this all goes well,
we'll be at a convention center.
They'll be at a convention center.
That'll be awesome, dude.
Because I think every single space at Bally's is going to be used.
I think if they go to the convention center, it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
It'll be the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. Because then we'll get our own room for podcasting the whole entire time.
That would be great.
Yeah.
We could really make an entire year full of Las Vegas episodes.
Exactly. We would just record like 2 days straight and then we wouldn't have to work anymore.
Yeah. We wouldn't have to call up Julio.
No. Nope.
We wouldn't have
to. We would interview him there.
That's true.
And we would slip him some Mickeys, get him really intoxicated.
So listen, Julio.
We don't have time to do the Dirty Dozen.
No, we don't. We don't have time to do the Filthy 15 or the Dirty Dozen. But that's okay.
Which means we have to get you on again.
Yeah. Some of the time, we want to find out, midway through 2017, where Team Black Shirts NWO and Julio Rodriguez are in the ITC. Can you do that? Can you come back in sometime
Give
in 2017?
Yeah, I can do that.
And what would be awesome?
If you're here physically.
If we can get some of the Black Shirts out here.
Mm-hmm.
Into Thunderdome 3.0.
Yeah, we'll just do a big old interview with all of them.
Yeah. We'll have some tables.
Yeah.
We have some beers. His neighbor has a donkey that's well trained, if you know what I mean.
Yep. We'll shoot him and we'll make carnitas out of him after you do the show.
Okay.
The show comes first.
Yep. But like I said, man, Bakersfield's not very far.
Yeah.
Bakersfield's not very far.
Make sure you bring your blue poncho that you're wearing in the video.
Now, Julio, we want to thank you for coming on.
Yes.
I know I promised you a long time ago to get you in, and I'm a man of my word, but it's a late word.
Hey, you're still a man of your word.
Still a man of my word.
Just like we're going to get those prizes out to people, but they have to come back to us. They have to, not the prizes, but the people that we're sending the prizes to have to make sure they're looking at their emails.
Yeah.
Because Blake's been sending out emails.
Yeah.
So.
This is true. So, Julio, I want to wish you personally good luck in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
At the time that people are going to be hearing this show, It's only like 2 weeks away.
Less.
Less than 2 weeks.
They're going to hear this a couple days. They might be listening to this on the way to Las Vegas.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
And furthermore, we wish luck to the NWO Black Shirts.
Yeah.
Because if there is a team that has a name that I want to support.
It's the NWO Black
Shirts. It's the NWO Black
Shirts. I own an NWO shirt. So.
Should you bring your belt?
Mine?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to wear the NWO shirt.
Okay.
And people will be like, oh, you're on team NWO? I'm like, yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
So, Julio, listen. You have like a few minutes maximum to say anything that you want to say. Shout outs, call outs.
Yeah.
Outcries.
Threats.
Threats to, you know, a non-governmental entity,
yes,
please.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Anything. Let her rip. Let us hear it.
All right, guys. I just want to give them a shout-out to my team. You know, I love them all. They're all great guys. We have about 20 members now, so it's just too many to name. But most of us are going to be there at Avio. And, of course, we always wear our shirts. I always say that if you see us, you know, just come up and say hello. We're all nice and really friendly. If I do any tournaments in this month, it's going to be maybe in Vegas, which we have a member over there now, too, that we do tournaments in Vegas. Or here in Otto's Video Games in Bakersfield. We're always willing to have people, you know, come over and stay with us or just whatever it is to get more games in. And, of course, you know, we're going to be going for the best at LVO. And like I always say, man, if you see us across the table, it's going to be a really tough game.
Ooh, strong words from a stronger player.
Stronger?
Stronger.
Yeah.
I'm saying he's stronger than his words.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a wild business.
Yeah.
All right, Ed. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to take us out, Ed?
No.
No? Should I take us out?
Does Julio want to take us
out? I don't think Julio remembers
anything.
Any of how we close our show.
So anyways, Julio was playing 40K at the old house.
Uh-huh.
And we were recording. And his glasses were broken.
Oh, okay. This is the name for Mexican Morpheus.
All right, we never got to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to give you the origin story for Mexican Morpheus.
And his glasses were broken. So he was just holding them on his head. I don't know if they broke completely there.
No, the earpieces were broken.
Yeah, so Josh called him Mexican Morpheus. And he was like, welcome to the Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
We just got there, and then they broke. Yeah. And I'm blind as a bat, like really blind. So I had to put them on that way so I could keep playing.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to stop playing just because my glasses broke.
Exactly.
Because he's a strong man and a strong player.
Yeah.
Mexican Morpheus. Yeah, because he had him just
on the bridge of his nose.
Yeah. You know what? You should get some glasses like that and just
They sell them now,
they
too.
Do.
That they just pinch on your nose and they fold up or something. Yeah. I don't know.
You should get some of those, Julio.
Only wear them when you're going into tournaments as Mexican Morpheus. But they should be shaded, the tinted.
Yep.
Because people won't know.
Yeah.
It's like when fucking Clark Kent has glasses and the fucking tie, it's Clark Kent. But when he takes off the glasses,
NWO shirt, it's like it's Superman. Yeah. So you wear those, you have to have like glasses and then like a beard or wear something different. A
trench coat.
You know what? Wear a bandana with fake hair coming down. I have one.
It has to be blonde too, right?
Yeah, I have one with blonde hair coming out of it. I'll give it to you.
Well, yeah, I think you should bring it to Vegas
so
he can wear it.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
And bleach your mustache blonde and have a black beard.
Yeah, what the fuck was he thinking? What the fuck was he thinking?
It's the coolest thing ever. I don't know what you're talking about. Black and white, dude.
Yeah.
All right. In the immortal words of Moose Jaw Jackson,
life is always sweeter after the cover save.
Now the time has gone away. Thank you for listening. And
kid, you better listen up this day. Cause Blake and Ned are talking 40K. You know the motto is life is always.